So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality." Acts 10:34. In Jesus' name, beloved of God. When Peter saw the vision on the housetop of Simon the Tanner, remember the sheet that was let down with the animals in it? That was a preparation for being called to the home of Cornelius. When he got there, he said he truly understood. He had learned something. And no matter how long you are at ILC, no matter how much you learn, this is all preparation. It is the Lord preparing you for your future in His kingdom. And as hard as it might have been for Peter to guess how his preparation would end up serving in the Lord's harvest, so also it is hard for us to guess at times just how the Savior is going to use our preparations here. But He prepares us, whether we see it or not. Peter's preparation was to learn that God does not show favoritism. Now, sometimes when people hear this, they understand that you won't get away with sin just because you come from a Christian home or because you are a Lutheran. But the impartiality that Peter understood in the home of Cornelius was that all are redeemed, both far and wide, for Thou, O Lord, for all has died. Last week, in the seminary library, I ran across this little catechism printed in 1882. You can see it's well worn. The name, beautifully written in the front cover, is Geshe Gishon. And it reminded me of how the Lord once prepared her older brother, some 5 years older than she was. His name was Henry Gishon. When Henry was just 4 years old in Germany, his one-year-old brother died of the croup. And a few weeks later, his seven-year-old sister died of scarlet fever. Now, Henry was the oldest in the family and also the oldest son, so he was expected to become a woodworker like his father, Herman. So when he said he wanted to become a teacher one day, it was out of the question. Somehow, though, he did manage to enter the teacher's school over in Middelkirchen and worked very hard at his studies. And then a typhus epidemic raged through that area. Caregivers were stretched so thin that when Henry took sick, his family was notified that the outlook was not good. Herman immediately packed his bag and set out for the school, saying, "God forbid that I should stay at home and my firstborn son die for lack of proper care." It was warm that spring, and the room in which he found his son was a small one with one window. Henry was very sick. Day and night, his father bathed the feverish boy. He boiled water, and when it cooled, forced small sips of it between his son's parched lips. Slowly, after weeks, the fever went down, and the father was able to spoon small sips of broth into his son's mouth. Then came the day when Henry opened his eyes and saw his father's face, haggard and worn, but smiling. Henry felt a surge of love as he realized his father had come to take care of him. Gratefully, he fell asleep. Herman breathed a prayer of thanksgiving to God and also lay down to rest. Soon the boy was well enough to travel, and Herman brought his son back home to Empson. When they arrived, Henry was put to bed, and Herman also lay down. He did not feel well. And as Henry drifted in and out of healing sleep, on July 25th, his father died from the illness that he had contracted at the school. When Henry's pleas to see his father could no longer be put off, and he was thought strong enough to take the news, he was told of his father's death. He lay very, very still for a moment, and then whispered, "For me. It was because of me." He became so melancholy that finally the next year his grandfather decided to send him to visit his uncle in America until his spirits improved. He never went back to Germany. Instead, he enrolled in the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and became a pastor in Plum City, Wisconsin, teaching many about his Savior's sacrifice for sin. He married a certain Lydia Thurow from Milwaukee, yes, the great-great-aunt of Zachary and Olivia here, and he was blessed with a family. One of his daughters later said that in all the years she knew her father, he always became quiet toward the end of July. And on each July 25th, he would enter his study early in the morning and not come out until late evening. When the children got older, he would tell them the story as many times as they asked, and always ended by saying very softly, "For me. It was because of me." Oh, and little Geshe, with this catechism. She was 12 when her father died. And the year after Henry came over to America, she came to stay with relatives. She was 14 at the time. 10 years later, at the age of 24, she married a Lutheran pastor and went on to become the great-great-grandmother of Henry Lau and Dan Lau and others. Truly, God works out the details well in advance and prepares for bringing understanding to needy souls. And because he does not show favoritism to a few, but shows his favor to all, every one of us can yearly watch our Jesus go from manger to temple to transfiguration to torture to tomb to the skies and say, "For me. It was because of me. I live because he died for me and rose again." And throughout this life, he is preparing us for eternity. Savior, sprinkle many nations. Fruitful let thy sorrows be. By thy pains and consolations, draw the Gentiles unto thee. Of thy cross the wondrous story, be it to the nations told. Let them see thee in thy glory, and thy mercy manifold. Amen.